athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes. 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 Yes.
I think very deeply.
You've got it locked into another edition of Box to Row. I am your host, Donald Ware. I think back because we're in year 19 of Box to Row. So we started this thing back on August the 20th of 2005. And so I hadn't had a chance. Like, we've got to be approaching episode number 1,000 as it relates to Box to Row. You figure 52 weeks in a year, 20 years, that's in excess of 1,000. Now, we haven't done necessarily in a new episode each and every year. Not necessarily, but for the most part, I'm here with you every week for going on 19 years now, maybe with the exception of maybe 4 to 6 times on average, I think, per year. And so whatever number episode this is, and for you, whether this is your first episode, whether this is your, maybe we're coming up on 900. No, maybe we're in excess of 900 episodes at this point. Maybe you just started listening to us last week. However you may be listening to Box to Row, wherever you may be listening to Box to Row, and how for however long you may have been listening to Box to Row, thank you for making the program a part of your day. We got a lot to get to. The Celtics complete the sweep of the Pacers. I want to talk a little bit more about that. I want to talk about the Dallas and Minnesota series. And we've got a guest joining us today here on Box to Row. Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes is the commissioner of what is currently being called the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. As of July 1st of this year, it will be called the HBCU Conference. And the commissioner of the current Gulf Coast Athletic Conference to be called on July 1st, the HBCU Conference, Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes, going to join us on the program. I really like the name. When I first saw this story going back, I don't know, it's been probably maybe even during football season when this announcement was made, I was like, that's pretty cool. Because now you've cornered the market as the HBCU conference, even though you have 4 HBCU conferences. You have 4 HBCU conferences, CIAA, SWAC, MEAC, and SIAC. And of course, you have some schools that are HBCUs that are not in one of the 4 conferences. But I thought that was really cool because from a, you know, from a branding standpoint, it's really, really cool. From a Google search standpoint, probably going to bring you up. And look, currently the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, to be known as the HBCU Conference, doesn't have football currently. I don't know. It is a great undertaking to have a football program. And I'll tell you what, when I think back to the late 90s and the early part of the 2000s, a number of different football programs or schools either revived football or brought football on the scene. It was like an explosion from Benedict to Stillman to Shaw to St. Augustine's VUL, Virginia University of Lynchburg, brought football back. I think it had football previously, but that was in 2011. I remember that very vividly. But, you know, it is an expensive undertaking. And that's one of the things that I want to ask Commissioner Barnes. Does she foresee in the future? Because she's a strategic thinker, strategic planner, okay, and has done a lot with this conference. She's the former athletics director at Dillard University. Shouts out to not only Dillard University, Xavier University there in New Orleans, also SUNO, but also our affiliate there in the Big Easy, WAMF. I'll tell you, it's a big undertaking. I wonder if that's something that the schools and the conferences would look at, because, I mean, I think it would be an undertaking. I would just say that much when you look at the schools. And a lot of these schools, look, maybe even not that long ago, some of these schools were in the NCCCA conference or some other conferences, USSSA conference. But it's some of these conferences that some of these schools were in not even 10 years ago that are now part of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, which are members of the NAIA. Could we see this conference as a whole come to the NCAA level? There's a lot that goes into that. I'm not sure about that, but I want to ask Commissioner Barnes about that from a strategic standpoint. Are those some of the things that she foresees strategically looking forward as it relates to the current Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, to be called the HBCU Conference? Look, it's my anniversary last Sunday. Had a chance to be in Norfolk, Virginia. And big shots out, speaking of radio stations, to our affiliate out of Elizabeth City, North Carolina, but covers pretty much the Hampton Roads area in WRVS. I caught that station from probably inside of Franklin or above Franklin going north all the way into pretty much Norfolk. It's a huge, huge signal. Big shots out to WRVS. And it's interesting because I've been to Norfolk many, 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 many times. Okay. Thinking back, first of all, to my days in athletic administration, okay, thinking back to all the years, especially when we first started this program, I think I went to the MEAC coaches luncheon probably from like in successive years from like 2006 to maybe, I don't know, like 2014 through 2015. So it was always held, well, at least from during that time, because previous to that it had been held in the DMV or Northern Virginia, but with A&T to go to Norfolk State. I've gone to Norfolk, Virginia so many times I can't even count. The one thing I hadn't done in Norfolk was spend some time. So when I was at the MEAC media, no, I was at the MEAC tournament, a little bit at the MEAC tournament back in March. And I was like, man, Norfolk seems like a really cool city. So I got to thinking, okay, maybe we can come back here in a couple of months. It'll be our anniversary. We can take boat ride or a dinner / boat ride, which we did, which was really, really cool. And we spent some time in Norfolk, mostly downtown. Went over to Virginia Beach a little bit. Of course, did some record shopping as I love to do. And Norfolk has like this, I don't know if pier is the right word. Boardwalk is not the right word, but you kind of, you know, there's a lot of property and a lot of walking that you can do, parks and such, right along the water near downtown Norfolk. We had an absolutely splendid time. And let me say this, this is the interesting thing, right? Like we look at these cities where conference tournament championships are held or, you know, football championships. And it's an advertising mechanism for the city. So for instance, right, we know the SWAC Tournament Championship for basketball is in Birmingham, or the MEAC Tournament Championship, by the way, is in Norfolk. And so what happens is the conferences, and not just any conference, sets a city. They have that tournament, but the hopes are from the city in of itself. That's why these cities give guaranteed dollars to these conferences. Not only will they recoup that money from hotel nights, from food taxes, et cetera, parking, all of those kind of good things that cities benefit from, but they're also hoping that you'll return to the city. And that's exactly what I did. So even though I didn't spend that much, I only spent like a day in Norfolk, a day and a half in Norfolk during the MEAC tournament in March. I came back and spent two hotel nights in Norfolk. Not only that, also spent money on the ship, taxes collected from that, spent money on food, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's sort of the benefit. I think it's appropriate that these cities and so forth give money to whatever conference you like, you're affiliated with, to then hope that people come back to that city and spend even more money. And it worked. So the MEAC Media Day for football has been in Norfolk. Hey, I wanted to see what Norfolk in of itself was about, because like I said, I hadn't spent much time, and most of the time that I had spent in Norfolk, Virginia, was working. So I had complete relaxation for a couple of days, really, really enjoyed our time in Norfolk. And again, kudos to the cities that secure these conference tournaments, secure these media days, etc., because it's a marketing opportunity. And thus, these particular cities give money to these particular conferences. So look, I mentioned that we've got a lot to get to today. NBA playoff talk still on the way. Bill Walton, the great Bill Walton, passes away at the age of 71. Going to talk a little bit about the life and the legacy of Bill Walton. And still to come here on Box to Row, we're going to talk with Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, soon to be the HBCU Conference, the commissioner, Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes. Keep it locked.
On the way, it's more of From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware. Right here. The Body Armor State Games are coming to Charlotte this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 25 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 13,000 athletes and 700 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Harris Teeter, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Jaylen Brown was spectacular. Look, Jason Tatum, first team All-NBA, and rightfully so. But Jaylen Brown is built differently. He plays just with a different energy. I mean, he's not a bad shooter. He's not necessarily a great shooter. I think Tatum's a better shooter than is Jaylen Brown. But Jaylen Brown, like, knocks down shots at the most opportune times. We saw it in game one with the three-pointer, and then he pretty much controlled the game and dominated the game for the Celtics on the Celtics' way to victory.
From the press box to press row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's from the press box to press row each week on your favorite station.
Now back to From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Still to come here on Box to Row, we're talking with the commissioner of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. A name change is coming for that conference on July the 1st. The commissioner is Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes. She's still to come here on the program. Also want to talk some NBA finals here on the show. And look, the Celtics handled their business, a sweep. Don't know if I saw a sweep coming. And listen, I get it. Tyrese Haliburton out for the last two games. Look, Indiana had a real had an opportunity to win either one of those basketball games. And remember what I said last week. It was going to come down. The Pacers are going to regret. They were going to regret for sure. And now we see why. That the Pacers could not close the deal against the Celtics in game one when they had the game one and just could not close. I mean, essentially had the game one, could not close the deal, came back to bite them. Listen, valiant effort. I give them all the credit in the world, especially without Haliburton. I mean, that's a huge loss. But look, the Pacers were right there and just could not get over the hump. And to me, for though, because again, when you look at these tournaments, you look at, you know, you look at the Celtics against not only the Pacers, but the Heat. You know, Jimmy Butler wasn't 100%. You look against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mitchell missed the last couple of games or so. So it seems like maybe the Celtics should have easily or more easily handled their business against any of these teams because of injuries to the star players. The fact that, this is the thing. That's fine. First of all, you've got the Celtics winning 4-1, 4-1, 4-0. So that's pretty dominating fashion. So the Celtics did what the Celtics were supposed to do. Let's not forget, Kristaps Porzingis is still injured. So Kristaps Porzingis hasn't even played for the Celtics. So I think when we're talking about the NBA Finals, and by the way, I like the Celtics to win the Finals, I've heard a lot of talk about the Celtics and the way that the Celtics have played, been down points, haven't closed teams out as they should. You know, Jaylen Brown's been consistent. You know, Jason Tatum, maybe not as much, and would we see a repeat from Jason Tatum as what we saw a couple of years ago in the NBA Finals? And listen, I don't believe that for a second. I think the Celtics can kind of turn it on and turn it off. I would like to see, we can talk, you know, Brown has been very, very consistent. We can talk about Tatum, some of the other guys. Derek White is knocking down shots, okay, because we know he's a good defender. And if he's knocking down shots, he's been kind of streaky a little bit from three-point range. But if he's knocking down shots, I mean, and then that bench, the Celtics, to me, have the best team, have had the best team in the league, are deep, are like nine deep, okay, with two all-NBA players, by the way. You look up and down this roster, and I mean, it's a team that really, really can get things done off of the bench as well. Like, there's not necessarily a huge fall off. Drew Holiday is unbelievable. Like, he got that extension. What was that about? Was it last month? Maybe back in April that he got that extension. And you can see why, because, I mean, the guy can just defend like nobody's business. Plus, you're talking about a guy that handles the ball extremely well, can also knock down shots for you, is tough as nails, can drive. Look, there's no mistake why the Bucks won the NBA championship going back to 2021 once the trade was made in part in terms of the Bucks receiving Drew Holiday. Excellent two-way player. And, you know, to me, that is a big reason why the Bucks won the championship. I look something similar, or look at it a little bit similarly to this situation with the Celtics. Plus, again, they re-signed him. But I think the key is Porzingis. Porzingis hasn't played. I know, and he's expected to play in the finals. I know a lot of people, you know, Porzingis hasn't got, like, it's interesting. Porzingis got a lot of the credit when he was on the floor. And then when he hasn't played because he's been hurt, it's like, you know, you hear a lot of talk about, well, does it really matter if Porzingis comes back? Yes, it matters. Porzingis has been healthy for the most part the last couple of seasons, unlike going back to his days with the Knicks. The other thing about Porzingis, he's 7'3". He's not necessarily a great defender, but he's 7'3". So he's going to alter some shots. He's going to change some shots. He's going to get rebounds. He's 7'3". Plus, he is very, very skilled from an offensive perspective. Can knock down the three. Is really good around the basket. He's got the bank shot from all angles. The guy can play basketball. And so, for me, I really, really like the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. Look, speaking of the Celtics, the NBA lost a giant in a lot of respects in Bill Walton, who passed away on Memorial Day at the age of 71. And listen, I didn't know a lot about Bill Walton during his UCLA. I didn't know anything about him during his UCLA days. It was before I was born. Didn't know much about him during his Portland Trailblazers days. Knew a little bit about him during his Celtics days, because I remember those, that Celtics-Lakers rivalry, and the Celtics, you know, sort of being in the mix every year when it came to playing in the playoffs. So I remember Bill Walton from that time. But I also remembered that Bill Walton was injured a lot and had been injured a lot. And it's interesting, because I believe once I got to either the eighth grade or the ninth grade, this was in the late 80s, it was science class. I can't remember which science it was, but there was, I remember, a piece in our science books that talked about Bill Walton and his injury and why he was having these problems, these injuries. I think it was really specific to the knee. Part of it was a nutritional deal. So that's one way outside of basketball, I should say, that I remember Bill Walton. I also remember Bill Walton, not only what I heard about him and read about him in terms of what he believed in civil rights. See, Bill Walton marched to the beat of a different drummer and to his own drum beat. Okay. He was an advocate. You know, it's one thing to know about civil rights and to, you know, whatever. He was an advocate for civil rights. I remember when, I believe he made a donation to when either he was part of the, maybe part of the, one of the marches on Washington to celebrate one of the anniversaries of the March on Washington, or he, and or he may have maybe even made a donation. I don't remember offhand to the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial that, you know, has since been erected. I remember him as an analyst. One of the not so great moments I remember because, you know, he was really quirky as an analyst. You know, he was, I don't know if in the late 90s he was the lead color analyst for, I can't even remember. I don't even remember those NBA finals games in the late 90s, if they were part of ESPN or slash ABC or it was CBS. But I just remember him being, I mean, he knew the game, but one game in particular, the Knicks were in the NBA finals. This was 99 and it was against the San Antonio Spurs. And those that remember, Charlie Ward, that of course played football at Florida State, ended up playing basketball for the Knicks and was a pretty good player. Like Charlie Ward was a solid player for the Knicks. I remember once the Knicks lost that finals in one of the games, I don't know if it was the closeout game, but I remember Bill Walton saying that Charlie Ward was a disgraceful human being. And I was like, wow, really? And I don't remember. I think at the time, I just remember thinking, why in the world would he say that? I don't know if it was to get effect, if he truly believed it. I don't think he truly believed it. Because that wasn't the type of person, at least from all indications, that Bill Walton was. But again, that is one of the memorable moments that I had of Bill Walton. But all in all, you know, two-time NBA champion, NBA Finals MVP, NBA Most Valuable Player. He's done it all. Obviously, Naismith Hall of Famer, one of the 75, at the time 50, now 75 greatest players to ever play in the NBA, left a legacy in terms of playing the game in both college and in the pros, in terms of as an analyst. And again, he started doing really a lot of college basketball in his later years. Really, really quirky. All indications, a really, really good person, good guy. Leaves behind a wife and I think four sons. One of them, Luke Walton, the former coach of the Lakers. But a lasting legacy left behind. And those are just some of my memorable thoughts when it comes to Bill Walton. You can hit me up via Twitter at DWare1. At DWare1, any thoughts you may have on the life and times of Bill Walton. Up next here on Box to Row, we're talking with Gulf Coast Athletic Conference Commissioner Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually, really fun. Like, to be honest, had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is so beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So, how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston, grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the off season. Was able to get that done, and you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip hop, and it's given me back that same love in return. You know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it, I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
He sent in Atlanta, told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and just focused, man. Put everything to the side, made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened, man.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was like invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls is just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite 3 topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. As promised here on Box to Row, we're joined by a young lady, as a matter of fact, who is the commissioner of the current Gulf Coast Athletic Conference in July. As a matter of fact, July 1, it will become the HBCU Conference. Prior to that, she spent almost 16 years as the athletics director and head women's basketball coach at Dillard University right there in New Orleans. She is Dr. Kiki Barnes. She joins us here on Box to Row. Dr. Barnes, welcome to the program.
So excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. It is in fact, my pleasure. Just, how are things currently? We're going to talk about this new name change, which is really, really cool. But how are things, you know, assess the 2023-24 season in the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference as a whole?
Let me tell you, I believe that it was a great year. I think that, you know, the culmination of the finally getting to some synergy around a new name and brand and starting to figure out a path for us to continue to grow partnerships and relationships for the conference and build out the conference as, you know, a solid HBCU conference in the country has gone really well. You know, we have great athletic programs. So our basketball championship and our basketball programs, I can say, are second to none. Track and field, same way. And so I think it's been a really, really great year for the conference. And I think it's a great way to transition. Like, I felt like we ended this thing, you know, in terms of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, 43 years under that name. And I think we are poised and positioned now to transition to the next, hopefully, 43 years for this conference as the HBCU Athletic Conference.
I think it's really, really cool because, you know, again, look, everybody, when you think about HBCU and the conferences, you're going to think about SIAC, SWAC, MEAC, CIAA. There are other schools. Obviously, you got Tennessee State, A&T, Hampton that are Division I. Other schools outside of that, you've got, you know, West Virginia State, you know, kind of Lincoln of Missouri. But we don't talk enough about the GCAC or the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference because, to your point, when you look at men's basketball, it's been a lot of success lately in the last couple of years, specifically with men's basketball. Tell us, it makes all this sense, but tell us, it's going to sound like a strange question, but how you all came up with the name HBCU Athletic Conference?
Well, I tell you, so we enlisted the help of a company, 1035, a Black-owned branding, PR, I think, marketing agency. And, you know, it took us, I would say it took us about a year and a half to kind of work through the process. So having conversations with, you know, the constituent groups, the coaches, the ADs, the presidents. We have a group of students, our Association for Student Athlete group, that, you know, we were having all these different conversations around how do we want to position ourselves as, at that time, we started saying we're the NAIA's only HBCU conference, because we're aware that everyone knows about those other conferences that you mentioned. But when you mention members of our conference, people will be like, who is that? And there's always what I would say is this, well, what's the GCAC? Where are those schools at? Who's in your conference? And there was not this, what we would say is this automatic recognition or brand strength as you see with the other HBCU conferences. Like when you say the SWAC, you think about those schools as a collective and people can name those schools. And also people not just being as familiar with the NAIA. The NAIA actually was the first association to integrate. So our first basketball championships were, I think, Tennessee State, Kentucky State, all of those schools that I would say have are more familiar from a brand perspective were all NAIA members a long time ago before integration. And so it was like, well, we really have to do some work in the marketplace to help people, one, know who we are and understand a little bit more about us. And so what better way to do that than name yourself the identifier, right? We are a collective of HBCUs. I remember having to keep saying, okay, well, you know about the HBCUs on the East Coast. And I'd say that, I was like, well, we're a group of HBCUs in the Deep South. And so I keep having that conversation over and over again. And so what we, from a strategy perspective, after having all those conversations with the different groups, you know, and working with, you know, a very, I would say, competent group of people who could help lead us through this, we felt like HBCU Athletic Conference would, in fact, help us be positioned to compete for partnerships, sponsorships, and give us a strong brand identity in the market. And so we're really excited. You know, it had to go to a vote of the presidents. You know, so we have a process. Like I couldn't just make some unilateral decision and kind of tell everybody this is what it's going to be. It was definitely a collaborative process with different options. And after, you know, going through those processes, getting to a final name. So we are really thrilled about it. We're excited. We think it, again, it's going to position us well and is a great foundation for us to continue to build on.
Nope, no doubt about it. Dr. Kiki Barnes, she is the commissioner of the current Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. On July 1st will be the HBCU Athletic Conference. She joins us here on Box to Row. I think it's interesting you mentioned that because the GCAC wasn't always made of a collective of HBCUs. That has happened a little bit more recently. And what's interesting is, to your point, as I look at the list, you know, Dillard, Fisk, Oakwood, you know, Philander Smith, Rust, Southern University of New Orleans, Talladega, Tougaloo, University of the Virgin Islands, which I believe just came into the conference this past 23-24 season, and then yeah. Wiley College are your member institutions, Stillman Voorhees, which is in South Carolina, and then, of course, yep. Wilberforce will become members of 24-25, or as of July 1st, as it were. Man, it's got to be exciting to have not all of those schools, but again, adding three additional schools in Stillman, Voorhees, and Wilberforce.
Well, absolutely. And what I'll say is, you know, the beautiful thing about where we are is, you know, the conference, for the first time in its history, this will be the largest the conference has ever been. You know, we've never had more than 10 members. So to get to 13 is a very strong statement about our position, where we're going, and our potential for growth. So it's very, very exciting now to be at this point. And, you know, we have an audacious goal to get to 16 members. So we're almost there. I just got to get three more schools. we've got about 8 or 9. I would say we've got about 10 in the pipeline. And if I could just get 3 out of that 10, that will get us to hopefully our 2025-26 goal of getting to 16 members. And if I'm correct, that would make us the largest HBCU conference in the country in yep. number. Yep. You know, again, how do we get in the market and compete, and what is our value proposition, especially when we don't have football, you know, and we know how important football is to college sports, but our conference is built on men's and women's basketball. That's our premier sport. And so, you know, trying to figure out how we get in and compete and position ourselves to get needed resources for our institution. All of those are important part of being able to build a solid business. And as I've said in some conversations with others, I was like, the GCAC where we were was a startup. I'm the first full-time employee. And I'm the only full-time employee right now.
Wow.
I have a number of independent contractors who are working with me. But from a business standpoint, when you're talking about a startup business and you're trying to build, you know, you've got to have the resources. You've got to get some early investments to help you expand and to be able to do the other pieces to create other revenue streams. So from a strategy perspective, part of what I'm having to do is very similar to an interview that I was watching with WNBA Commissioner Kathy. I was watching her. I can't remember what program it was, but they did an interview with her, and she was talking about the woes of a startup and talking about what the WNBA was and what her three goals were. So she's talking about growing, getting expansion, and I'm laughing because I was like, well, we got the same goal, expansion. Second one was revenue opportunities. I was like, well, that's on my strategic plan too. Revenue opportunities. And I'm like literally dying. I was like, we're doing the exact same thing. The same challenges that the WNBA has are the same challenges that the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference has in trying to level up, trying to get the right partnerships to be able to do the bigger things that you can forecast that the league or our conference can do with the appropriate revenue support. So that's where we are. It's exciting. And, you know, our tagline for our new name is Where Winners Thrive. So when we think about storytelling and connecting with brands or people who want to invest, I mean, who doesn't want to invest in a winner? We literally are the place where winners thrive. Every institution, you know, if you were to talk to anyone, a president, an athletic director, a coach, an alum from one of those institutions can tell a story about winning at life, not just winning on a court or winning on a field or winning on a track, but winning in life. So when we think about who we are as HBCUs established in the Deep South when we could not go to other universities and what the HBCUs have done in terms of creating the Black middle class, we've always won. And so being able to tell those stories collaboratively with brands, potential investors, I think is the power and strength of us making this move for the name change and then moving this thing forward.
Dr. Kiki Barnes is the commissioner of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. As of July 1, will be known as the HBCU Athletic Conference. She joins us here on Box Road. Dr. Barnes, can you hold 1 second? I want to keep you over. Got a couple of other questions I'd like to ask you. Again, we're joined by Dr. Barnes of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference here on Box to Row. We'll have more of our conversation on the other side.
Do you feel like the cost of car ownership has gotten out of control? Take charge by refinancing your auto loan today. One call to Rate Genius can save drivers an average of $1,200 per year. The loan specialists at Rate Genius have helped people for more than 20 years replace high-interest auto loans, lower their payments, and spend less in interest. Rate Genius works with over 150 lenders to find you the most competitive terms. Customers lower their rate an average of 3 percentage points. That's huge savings. It's absolutely free to apply for refinancing through Rate Genius, and when you refinance your auto loan, you won't owe a payment for 45 days. Make the 5-minute no obligation call today and get on your way toward affordable car ownership. Call 800-958-0341, 800-958-0341. That's 800-958-0341. Rate and payment values are calculated by using the average savings for customers from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on credit worthiness. Value of the vehicle on term and other.
The Body Armor State Games are coming to Charlotte this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 25 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 13,000 athletes and 700 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Harris Teeter, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
The others pretend. You're listening to the only sports talk show in America that actually cares what you've got to say. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
We're back here on Box to Row. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Kiki Barnes, the commissioner of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. Again, as of July 1, will be known as the HBCU Athletic Conference. You know, Dr. Barnes, I mean, I look at a couple of schools that are out there. You mentioned getting to 16 schools. Simmons College of Kentucky is in Louisville. But you've got three, the easier ones, you've got three in the Red River, in Xavier of Louisiana, which is right there. You've got Texas College. You've also got the other one is Escape. Oh, Langston. Langston's the other. Are those some of the other schools that you're looking at? And, I mean, seem like Xavier would be sort of the easier of the three or four.
Yeah, it should be. We hope that we'll be able to have some conversation about them rejoining at some point. They're definitely on our list. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And so now I would assume this is would only be HBCU conferences. So are there some, are you allowed to, Or can you name any of the other schools maybe you're looking at for the future?
I wish I could, okay. But I can't.
Okay. Yeah, I see how you kind of answer. Yeah.
Like I said, we've got a list. Okay. And I will say we're certainly open to schools that aren't HBCUs. You don't have to be an HBCU to be in our conference. But, you know, understanding that the primary, like the number of schools that we have that are HBCUs, that's, you know, that is what it is, and that won't change. But we've got a list, and we hope that we'll continue, you know, the outreach efforts, and hope that within, you know, the next year or so, we'll be able to get two or three of them to commit off that list. I will say we've got one. I can't say which one, but okay. We do have one that we met with last week, and looks like they may be moving towards get an application in towards the end of next year. So we may be looking at that institution for 26-27. So I'll tell you, we're moving already. So I'll say we have a possible. It's like when you play spades and you're trying to figure out how many books you have.
Right.
So I got 10 at a possible. I mean, I got one and 10 possibles.
I like that. That is very, very good. It's a good analogy. So let me ask this, what in terms of sponsorship, right? Like, I know you've got you'll name the credit union. I know you have a credit union that's coming aboard with you for another 3 years. That's been one of the things. Whenever we're in this space of HBCU, sponsorships, for whatever reason, seem to always be an issue. But I would also say this, now with your name change, have you seen a shift? And I'm talking about historically, I think now when you look at HBCU, it's a very hot brand. So have you seen a shift in terms of the thought process of potential sponsors coming on board?
So I will say that what I have seen is a shift in conversation, you know, in being able to have a more broad conversation about how we work together, still working to secure some things, but definitely a lot. I would say the doors open a little bit more than maybe it had been prior to. So I will say I am extremely excited about that particular piece. I mean, because you've got to be able to have the conversation first. You've got to get in the door. So I do feel that the door is open, right? And we're being invited to the table to have the conversations. That's not a place that we have been at, you know, that we've explored. And so I'm really excited about that. And again, I think that the name change is a key part of that. The growth of the conference is a key part of that. You know, very similar to what you're seeing with the WNBA and having, you know, really star guards and people are starting to get excited. The same momentum that they're seeing is the same momentum I feel like we're seeing with the expansion, the growth, the new name change and some of those pieces. So, I mean, you know, we've got great partners, and I'd love to take a moment just to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, my partnership with Hope Credit Union, because they were our first real corporate partner. They were the first ones to say, hey, we see what you're doing, or we believe in what you're doing, and we believe in what's possible. And we know that if we partner with you right now, we could help facilitate the vision that you have shared. Like, our resources can help assist that. And I must say that having Hope Credit Union, you know, CEO Bill Bynum and his team commit to us before we had a media rights deal, before, you know, there was any evidence, you know, I didn't have 13 teams. I was still at 8 teams. And to say, we hear you, we see your plan, and we're going to invest has made the difference. So I'm extremely grateful to the Hope Credit Union team, to Bill Bynum, who has really become a good friend and partner in this and helping, you know, this conference grow. And that's all it takes. You've got to have some people who believe and will make that initial investment. And we are really, really grateful for them.
Couple more thoughts with Dr. Kiki Barnes, the commissioner of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, to be named the HBCU Athletic Conference on July 1. So, Commissioner Barnes, look, you mentioned it. You hit it early in the program. Football. Football is king when it comes to HBCUs. To your point and the point we made, you've done a lot in terms of basketball. Your member institutions have done a lot on the national stage in the NAIA more recently. Any thoughts in terms of down the line of football becoming a sponsored sport by the HBCU Athletic Conference?
Well, what I'll say is that's not a decision that the conference makes. It really depends on whether or not schools decide they want to sponsor a sport. So the conference offers championships in the sports that the schools sponsor. So if, you know, six schools in the conference said, hey, we're going to do football programs, then that would be the impetus then for the conference to be able to offer a championship in football. I will say that I don't see our institutions taking that route. But let me tell you what I'm really excited about, and I'm not sure if you saw this, but the gymnastics route seems to be a space where we have decided that we want to take take some leadership in. Yesterday, Wilberforce became the third institution as a member of our conference who is looking to offer gymnastics. You know, last year, Fisk University became the first HBCU program in the history of gymnastics to offer gymnastics. And so Fisk University, of course, is our member. And then Talladega this year joined them as the second program in gymnastics. And so the announcement yesterday was now a third institution now saying we're going to offer gymnastics, I think is an area that we are extremely excited to see the growth in and an opportunity where we're leading and you know, in a totally different area. And I think there's definitely some opportunity for growth there. And we're really excited about what the potential could look like for those programs. All we would need is about three more programs, you know, to consider adding gymnastics. And, you know, we could offer the first HBCU gymnastics championship.
Yeah, I think with what Morgan Price was able to do and now has put, you know, Fisk and to some degree HBCUs on a national stage may garner some sponsorship for the you know, maybe those three or more schools then have a gymnastics program.
Absolutely.
Dr. Kiki Barnes, he's the commissioner of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference on July 1st, will be named HBCU Athletic Conference. She joins us here on Box to Row. Dr. Barnes, really appreciate you doing this. Continued success in all you do, and to you and the HBCU Athletic Conference.
Thank you, Donald. I appreciate you very much.
A great conversation, I thought, with Dr. Kiki Barnes, and that conversation went longer than we had planned. A, I was glad that she could, of course, stay on for the conversation. And B, I thought it was she had a lot to say with respect. And look, I think this is a great move. Again, as I mentioned, I would ask about football and the institutions that she mentioned would make that decision. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a hard deal, right? But I think that's something that it would be nice. But in fact, and I thought it was interesting that she also mentioned that it can be called the HB or will be called the HBCU conference, but doesn't necessarily mean that it will be exclusive to HBCUs. We see the SIAC has Spring Hill, which is not an HBCU. The CIAA had Shawan, which is not an HBCU. And look, when you're looking to find three schools, it's hard. So you've got to try to go after, think outside of the box and not just think about HBCU schools. But I thought that was interesting. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. Look, big time win by Dallas over Minnesota. And look, give the Mavs a lot of credit. Again, this NBA Finals, I have the Celtics winning the NBA Finals, but I think it's going to be a tough Finals. The Boston has the home court advantage. It's going to begin next Thursday, and it's important for the Celtics to get out to a very good start. We'll see if Kristaps Porzingis will play. If he does, I believe he is a factor, and I also believe if he does play that he'll put the Celtics over the top. If he does not play, it doesn't mean I still have the Celtics winning this series over a very, very good Mavericks team. My time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Dr. Kiki Barnes, the commissioner of the Gulf Coast Athletics Conference, soon to be called the HBCU Athletic Conference, for joining us today here on Box to Row. As a reminder, save July the 20th. July the 20th, save the date. It will be the 7th Box to Row countdown to kickoff. We're going to be somewhere in the Triangle or Triad area, Raleigh, Durham, Greensboro area of North Carolina. We got something very special planned. And of course, the coaches from 7 of the HBCU institutions will be in attendance. It should be great fun. Again, save the date for Saturday, July the 20th. More details to come at BoxToRow.com. I want to welcome our newest affiliate and those listening to us in Savannah, Georgia, on WRUU. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. And always remember to support those that support Yo Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.